President Nicolas Sarkozy's 61st visit to France by the Libyan leader since 1973. Joining us to talk about the trip and the relationship between the two leaders, I'd like to welcome to today's program French-based journalist, also the creator of the website IamTheWitness.com, Mr. Darryl Radford Smith.
You're listening to Your World Today with Mohammed Ismail.
Good evening, Darryl, and thanks for joining us on today's program.
Great to be back with you, Mohammed. I hope you're well.
I can't complain. Yourself?
No problems here. We've had a bit of some bad weather, but other than that, everything's fine.
Good to hear, Darryl. Colonel Gaddafi visiting France, what do you make about this trip?
Well, of course, Mr. Gaddafi's been in power for now for some 34 or 5 years, and he was put in power around the same time that Saddam was taking power in Iraq. So he's got a long history of running the Libyan government. The French have a long history of involvement in North Africa, both in Algeria and as well as most of the North African countries prior to World War II. Recently there was a problem in Libya with some nurses having poisoned some families with vaccine, smallpox vaccine that was laced with AIDS virus. And that whole debacle, if you'll accept that, the debacle was actually diffused, according to the press, by Nicolas Sarkozy's wife. She was down there as a pseudo-representative of the French government. Now, there was a lot of problems with the establishment here accepting her as the spokesperson for France when she went down there. However, there was success she had in getting the nurses freed and sent back to Bulgaria. There's a lot more to this story from behind the scenes, and I think if you really want to know the entire reasons why all this is happening, you have to look back into history.
Why don't you take us through it, Darryl?
Well, let's take a look back at first of all, of the relationship that Gaddafi has with the West. He was, of course, a pan-African nationalist, and of course, when you take a look at what pan-African nationalism is, it's basically to separate the Arab community and group it into a sub-Saharan African camp. And then we have, of course, the other ideology that was spawned at the same time, which is called, we had the Ba'athist movement, which is a pan-Arab movement.
Uh-huh.
Now, the two movements were supposed to be ideologically different than one another, but they were both born out of Egypt, and their goal was to separate Egypt into two separate camps so that the largest country in the Arab world would have no cohesion. And it has worked for the better part of 30 years, and you have seen a lack of unity in the Arab community in Egypt to stop the kinds of crimes that have been committed in Egypt against its public under Mubarak and others. So basically, it was a divide and conquer strategy, which is the strategy that the CIA and Mossad have always used.
Uh-huh, absolutely. How is Gaddafi's visit being received by the larger French audience?
Well, there's a lot of outrage on the left, which is the socialist group, saying that we are dealing with dictators and we're dealing with murderers, and much of that criticism is born out of the Lockerbie bombing.
Yeah.
Now, what we've discovered over the last 10 years is Lockerbie wasn't also a Mossad operation. It was and you'll find that three of your diplomats back during that bombing were actually warned in advance by the Israelis not to board the plane. So if you take a look at South African diplomats that didn't fly that day, they half an hour before the flight was to take off, they were told not to get on the plane. Two of those diplomats were from the Jewish community.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're saying that Mossad was heavily implicated. I've read reports linking Lockerbie to CIA and drug smuggling.
Well, CIA and Mossad will work hand in hand these days, and you can get the full story from a man named Tiny Rollins' book. It's called The Multi-Double Cross. Now, after he published this book, he was unceremoniously killed.
Wow, how?
There's interesting things around that as well, but here's the thing. He was actually very close to the royal family of Britain, and he was one of the people that was trying to buy the Harrods department store chain when Al-Fayed was trying to buy that same department store chain. But the fact of the matter is he came clean on this Lockerbie lie, which to date the Libyans have never admitted to doing it, but they actually paid $3 billion of their money to solve the case. Now, what that did was put them back into good stand with the powers that be in both Western Europe and the United States. And let's talk a minute about what they're trying to sell the Libyans down there. And I think this is important.
You know what, Daryl, you pointed out that a lot of the left-leaning groups have criticized Gaddafi's visit to the country. Now, not only because he's visiting France, but also because today is World Human Rights Day. Now, I'm not a Gaddafi apologist, but it strikes me as kind of rich that the French are complaining about Libya's human rights record when taking into consideration France's human rights record in Africa.
Well, and you've opened up a very important subject here. Take a look at what happened in the 1960s in Algeria. I mean, there was wholesale murder at the hands of the French army. However, I think it's a smokescreen is what it is, essentially. They constantly need to stir up little battles, but in the final analysis, it's really about money, power, and control. And if you boil down your observations to those discussions, you'll always have your finger on the pulse of what is really going on. Take, for instance, this nuclear power plant. I mean, a country sitting on top of an ocean of oil, what interest should they have in building a nuclear plant when they could produce all the electricity they wanted for next to nothing using oil?
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, what it does is the Western oil companies are now pumping Libya's oil out to the open market, and what they're trying to do is get Libya to become addicted to the use of electricity through nuclear power, but at the same time putting their population at risk. Now, if you put a nuclear power plant next to anybody anywhere, they're always at risk that plant could be destroyed.
Yeah, absolutely. And these are new deals that have just been struck between the Libyans and the French.
Well, yes, and there's also deals for weaponry coming out of the French military-industrial complex, which is entirely controlled by Jewish interests.
Daryl, let's look at Gaddafi. He's undergone an amazing transformation from international pariah to respected statesman. How do you account for this transformation? It's almost like a fairy tale story.
Well, it is a fairy tale. it's not real. Basically, what they did is they resurrected his figure, and they told him in no uncertain terms that Saddam had played ball with them, and then he went afoul of their demands, and look what happened to him. And you, Mr. Gaddafi, are going to follow closely behind Mr. Hussein if you don't start playing the game as we describe it. Now, the game basically is that there are huge amounts of natural resources that need to be coveted in northern Africa. And it's not only in Libya. We're looking at the oil reserves of Algeria as well as Libya. And so basically these people that are running the world, the Total Fina Elf group, the Shell Oil, the BNP, the BP, British Petroleum, and others, they need to have these oil reserves under their control.
Absolutely, yeah. And you say this is fighting to Libya.
It certainly is, because Libya, of course, could be playing the spoiler much the same way that Iran is playing right now. And the big spoiler in the world right now in the oil monopoly that they're trying to build is Russia.
Right.
But that's for another discussion. But basically, if they're able to get oil onto the market at the prices they set, they have a permanent source of revenue and control over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
How long is Gaddafi in France for?
It's actually just a few days. He actually set this meeting up when he visited in Portugal not that long ago. And it's interesting to note that he was there with all of the big European leaders in the Portuguese meeting. And there's a picture of him standing there alongside. This is interesting. He's standing beside the president of Bulgaria.
Bulgarian. Why is that interesting?
Well, that's where those nurses were from.
Yes.
Now, do you want to know something else about Bulgaria? That is the transit point for the world's heroin trade.
Is that right?
Yes, and that's where the CIA and the Mossad have very strong operations.
I see. Now, regarding the contract being signed between France and Libya, do these have any impact on the two respective countries' people? How does it benefit the people of Libya?
Well, it really doesn't. And what it basically does is places Libya in a position where they're building up a military for what purposes? I mean, you have to ask yourself that. Is this just a prelude of this Pan-African idea trying to be relaunched in earnest? We're already watching what's happening in Sudan with the Janjaweed and in Chad, and you're watching other large oil reserves being coveted through some very terrible means. In fact, they're starving and murdering great numbers of indigenous peoples right now in areas just south of Gaddafi's Libya.
I see. And Gaddafi, do you think he's the kind of man he will play ball?
Well, I don't think at this point he's willing to risk losing his position on power. And, of course, you know that any time he stops playing ball with them, they could remove him. They could have removed him back in the 70s if they wanted to. This, you know, if they can get rid of a president like Kennedy, they can certainly get rid of a man like Colonel Gaddafi. The fact of the matter is he has served their purposes as somebody to point to as an evil terrorist over the years. And, of course, I've told you in prior discussions we've had that the whole idea here is to set up a fight between Christianity and Islam so that we can end up having a battle between these two religious ideologies, and who's orchestrating that but Zionism.
Mm-hmm. And the historical ties to Libya, between France and Libya, where do they date back?
Well, we have colonialism that started back in the turn of the last century, and you'll notice that the French Foreign Legion was the power broker in that northern region for some 150 years. They actually arrived in the 1840s in the coasts of Algeria as well as Tunisia and into Tripoli. So that area has been a French protectorate for some 150 years.
Was Libya ever officially colonized?
In fact, the Americans had intervened in Tripoli on behalf of the French and the powers that be back in the middle of the 1850s and 60s with a military incursion of the Marine Corps. They have always been subjugated, those people, and in fact, after World War II, when they tried to reassert control over those regions, the general population started to balk at it, and you saw the colonial structure start to erode, and that's of course gave birth to your Algerian War and the exodus of the French population from North Africa.
Mm-hmm. Daryl, thanks so much for joining us. It was highly informative talking to you.
Well, thank you very much, sir, and I look forward to our next discussion.
Indeed, same here. Take care and bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
That is French-based journalist and creator of the website IamTheWitness.com, Mr. Daryl Radcliffe-Smith, spoke to us about the relationship between Sarkozy and Libya's Colonel Muammar Gaddafi. And we're basically looking at that relationship because Gaddafi is due in France sometime today. We're going to...